birds.
All right, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. Yeah, and guess what?
Another call?
Good morning, you're on 850 The Buzz.
Good morning, and I'm Dan calling.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm fine. Except...
Hold on a second, Dan.
Sure.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I want to ask you all if you can recommend or if you think it would help me to go to a seminar on Windows 95. I feel like I've lost all control of my computer ever since I've been trying to work with 95. And things happen when I'm sleeping, you know, with Windows 95. I got up at 4 this morning, and then things weren't there that they were there yesterday, and I just completely lost.
If only you could figure out how to make a computer vacuum your house and make dinner.
I yearn for the days of DOS, but I guess we'll never go back that far.
No, we'll never go back there.
I knew 50% of what I was doing in DOS, but
well, you can still use DOS. Yeah, it will help if you took some seminars about 95. There is no doubt that anything that you can learn.
They're $100 or a couple hundred dollars, and I guess they'd be worth it if I could just retain what I hear when I go there. But I think I'm going to resort to that. Let me ask you one thing about the little tilde. Do you call it the little
squiggly?
Yeah. When I guess that's there to, so if you read a long file name in the old system, it'll just show you that there's more to that file name than can be shown in 8 characters.
That's right.
But for some reason, I don't think this is supposed to happen, but in Windows 95, when I go in using WinFile, which gives me the old file manager, and I can see it, I have a lot of those wigglies because it can only read 8 letters.
Right.
But when I go back to Explorer, shouldn't it read out the entire file name?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't. It has the wigglies, too.
You are in Windows 95, and you're using Windows Explorer, and you get the...
Yes. Well, let me tell you one of them. For instance, you know where they have a folder called Program
Files? Yeah.
And, by the way, is that case sensitive? You know, it starts with an uppercase T. Okay, but you do have to put the space in there when you type it, right? Program space files.
Kevin was going to say
that's
something.
The name of it.
Well, I was wondering if along the way perhaps you had saved the file. You know, if it was in an environment that only understood 8 characters and you save it, then the tilde is going to get saved and the long file name would be concatenated. So
that's true.
You know, I don't know if you were in DOS and it's
but this is fun. We're talking here about the directory, which Windows created, and you cannot override it. So yeah, if you're using a Kevin is right. If you're using a file like in a word processor, and it's a long name, and you update it and you save it, it'll probably save it as the new name.
But even when you go back and
because you saved it as such.
Remember
one thing. I don't have any experience with it, going back and forth and actually manipulating those files under DOS that doesn't understand them. So I can't really answer. Did it happen to you, Larry?
Yeah. I wonder, Dan, did you install 95 over 3.1? Or is it
No, I installed it from B, you know, the B version.
No. Did you have 3.1 running before you installed 95?
Was it an upgrade?
No, I've reformatted my diskette, the hard drive.
Because some of the files that you create in 3.1, as they come over, won't automatically be renamed. They will have the tilde at the end to show you that you can add a longer name. But
it seems to work. But for instance, the file name Program Files, which is uniquely a 95 file name.
Right.
It when I go to Explore and look under there, and it's hard for me to what it says is \\progra1
right,
/ Netscape Netscape2 / commun\ 1 /. Then /program/default/mail/inbox. And I finally typed that just as I read it to you into my Netscape Navigator part where it asked to copy all your outgoing mail to a file.
Yeah.
And that's the directory path I gave it.
And it still won't.
When I send a email message now, I don't ever get a record of it. I guess from now on, I'm just going to copy myself.
What version of Netscape?
I've got both of them. That might be one of the problems. I got both on my computer. I downloaded the revised, the newer version, 4, I think.
Because applications that don't support long file names lie. And this,
that's true, too.
Here's a suggestion for you. If you've got Microsoft Word or a Windows 95 version of a word processor, create a file, a document, save it with a long file name, and see if it comes up as the long file name. If it does, then everything's fine, and it's the applications problem, because 16-bit or old applications will not, many of them won't support, I don't know if any of them will, but I know most of them won't support long file names, so you'll have the tilde. They'll automatically cut it off, no matter what you save it in.
I see.
Because 95 won't automatically change it.
But then to go to your original question, yeah, it will help you to take.
Okay, can y'all recommend any, or are there just I get things in the mail about seminars. Some of them in Charlotte, some of them in Raleigh, and things like that.
No, there's enough around town that you can take them, and you can always go to Wake Tech.
Really?
Yeah.
Wake Tech offers a course on something like that.
Yeah. And the other thing, have you ever tried these dummies books?
Yeah,
Windows 95 for dummies. I mean, I got them all.
It just
shows you where I am.
Well, I've got a lot too, Larry. But the thing I've got against all books is the indexes aren't what they used to be 10, 20 years ago. Before they came along with the computerized version of creating indexes and table of contents, the indexes were really handy. You could have a question like email, and you could go to the index and look it up and find it in the book. Now I'm getting senile. I think that's really.
No, we're all just getting older. The computers are getting younger or something. I don't know.
But I hadn't thought about Wake Tech. I might look into that and look into a computer course. Because I'm not working with anybody. I'm working with myself now that I'm retired. So, it's hard. You don't have coworkers to ask questions to and things like that. So, anyway, you all have been very helpful. I really enjoy y'all's program every week.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz.
Thank you all.
Bye. All right. You're listening to 850 The Buzz, and our number is 860-0850. And we have a guest today with us, Kevin Forney from Cyrix. Kevin.
Yes.
What's new, Tarek? I mean, I know that the company became real big, right?
Yes.
Or another company became a little bigger.
We're about to go from being a $200 million company to a $3 billion company next month. We're merging with National Semiconductor, which is a perfect match between the two companies. Net National has, they have many of the parts that are in your computer today in terms of LAN chips, analog chips, I/O chips, and so multimedia and so forth. And what they didn't have was a microprocessor. And what Cyrix was in need of was manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're a fabless company, and we can directly leverage off of National's manufacturing capabilities and the rest of their devices. So it's a perfect mesh between the two companies.
Just like you said, they're a fabulous company.
Can we stop him now? And the cash don't hurt either, right? I mean, $3 billion of your revenue is a nice...
Scoop.
If you guys need some new stuff, they can go buy it easier.
Well, it'll be fun, competing with Intel is a $20 billion concern.
Right.
Being a $3 billion company and having pretty high-end manufacturing capabilities is going to be wonderful for customers and the product line.
All right, let's
have a call.
We'll get back. Good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz. No, you're not, huh? Oh, yes, you are.
Hello. I'm on. Hey, I'm glad you finally got the charge.
All right.
I have a couple. I have one question. I have one statement. Let me.
Is that for Kevin?
Well, the first part is just a general information for people.
Okay.
And it's something that I found out the hard way, and if there's anybody listening, they probably won't pay attention to it. I just recently purchased the Rico MediaMaster, the CDRW.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful piece of machinery, and I've kind of waited for the price to come down, which it did. And incidentally, they're running a $100 factory rebate on the thing, too. But there's one little problem that I would say that probably one-third of the people that may buy this piece of equipment may come in contact with, and that is your scanner. I have a Microtech E6 scanner.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it installed with a SCSI board and all, and when I got the Rico and put it in, lo and behold, my scanner wouldn't work. I got a fatal exception. Every time I try to work with it, we couldn't figure out what it was, and the guy that put everything in for me just couldn't figure out what the trouble was. So I finally called Microtech and got them on the line, and one of the last things, as we were getting ready to hang up, I made the comment that the only thing that I had done recently that was different was that I had bought a Rico MediaMaster, and he went into tilt mode. I mean, the first thing he started doing was just, oh, you got to call these people and get them straightened out, because mm-hmm. we've had nothing but problems with it. So I called Rico, and, yeah, they were aware of it. And the lady said that they're just about to have pull the hair out of their heads. Anybody that has a Microtech scanner, a UMAX, and she said one or two other different models, if you have a scanner and you try to put the Rico on there.
Which model, Rico, is it?
The MediaMaster, the CDRW.
Okay.
The RW model.
Okay.
If you try to put that on there, the files, their software, will conflict with the scanner. And you've got to call Rico, and they will ship overnight a patch for the people to put in. And you have to go to Adaptec. You need to get the patch for the Adaptec EasyCD Pro, and you also have to get a patch for EasyCD, for DirectCD. So you've got to get all that stuff put in there if you're going to use your Rico with a scanner. And I figure that most people that buy the Rico are probably going to have a scanner, or at least a third of them are going to have a scanner anyway. So it's a major headache if you don't get these patches and everything.
Okay.
It'll drive people crazy.
And you had a question too, Kevin, too?
Yes, I just recently upgraded my board to take advantage of my SCSI card. And I've got a Socket 7 VX, and I'm getting ready to update to either a K6 or one of the Cyrix chips. And my question is this: how hot is the new chip running in relation to what the old one was? And what's the advantage as far as floating point and the MMX in relation to the K6? I understand that both of them are a little bit slower than the Intel chip.
Well, from a heat dissipation point of view, the 6x86MX consumes less current and is lower power than the equivalent AMD chips. From an MMX point of view, our MMX implementation is actually significantly faster than what Intel has in their implementation. Essentially, MMX is a trick that you play with a floating point unit where you've got very wide registers that hold floating point numbers, and when you want to do some audio multimedia kinds of applications, MMX instructions borrow those registers, and the idea behind it being that you can do multiple operations on multiple pieces or a single operation on multiple pieces of data by borrowing these 80-bit wide registers. And so what MMX essentially allows you to do is what you used to be doing with a series of instructions, you can now do with a single instruction and execute on four pieces of data at once instead of one, that kind of thing. And what it does is whenever you want to run MMX instructions, you swap out the floating point instructions. Now they become MMX registers. That context switch on an Intel part is a fairly lengthy process, 50 clocks or so that's wasted. With the Cyrix part, it's a one-clock context switch. Now, in the real world, there's hardly there's not much MMX applications out there. So, a lot of it's marketing hype at this point.
Yeah, well, I do like y'all's prices. Can't beat them.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's where we come from. We look at it from a price-performance point of view, and we don't have $100 million to have dancing disco guys in the fab.
You know what? That is the sorriest commercial that I have ever seen in my life.
I agree.
If for no other reason, I'm not interested in Intel, just because of those fluorescent people.
Well, to be honest with you, I didn't like disco the first time around.
Oh, Lord. Hang on.
Yeah.
One other little thing.
Yeah,
and this thing about RICO really brings to mind an important aspect of the computer market. I have really raised hell with RICO about this. I called and complained, and this is another thing that makes people irritated with Microsoft, and I've had problems with 95 too, and that is if people, users such as myself and millions of other people, if they're dissatisfied with a product that comes out from a company,
mm-hmm.
It behooves each and every one of us to get on the phone and call or write these people and really complain about it. I'll give you an example, like RICO. They put that product on the market, and it's a good product, but they put it out too early, and they didn't check to make sure that all of their files were going to be compatible with everybody else's. And this creates a lot of trouble with people who buy things on good faith.
Right.
And wind up spending a couple $100 with a professional to get things straightened out.
Mm-hmm.
And any money that they may save on the product, they automatically wind up spending, plus the headache and everything, of having to put it in on the market. I mean, to use it. And it just really irritates the devil out of me. And I know there's a lot of other people out there that are listening that probably feel the same way about products.
Then
the only way you're
going
to get this thing, get let people know, is to get up there and just raise Cain with them.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
And don't forget the flowers in your hair, too.
Okay. Hey, enjoy your program.
Wait.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, I just had this wonderful experience with Microsoft Internet Explorer 4.0, the final release.
Yeah.
Has about 3 significant bugs in it. I mean, major bugs. And this is the operating company, right?
Yeah, right.
You're right. Get on and scream and yell.
Absolutely.
I absolutely support you.
And it'll get there. You're talking about it. Some other people are talking about it, and they probably are getting, like you said, they're pulling their hair.
I have already decided that I am not going to buy Windows 98 when it comes out. I'm not going to fool with it.
Huh?
I've got enough problems with Windows 95, and even going to OS R2, there's still problems with that.
I have no idea. I mean, there are still little problems, and there'll be problems, but this is what makes it exciting.
Yeah.
And we need to break away from
it. I don't need all that excitement. I'll see you.
All right. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. All right. Your calls are coming up next on the station. And want to pay your rent and your mortgage, and now your car payment, too. 850 The Buzz.
850 The Buzz.
Like the man said, 850 The Buzz. And this is Computers 97. And we're sitting here with Larry Dial and Kevin Ferrini of Cyrix. Our number is 860-0850. 860-0850. And if you're in your car and you're a 360 communication customer, pound 850 will get you here and we pay for the call. Let's get back. Oh, one thing I want to mention first, now that there are no calls, I can talk about it. Today is North Carolina Net Day.
No, not in Wake County.
What do you mean not in Wake County?
Because it was postponed for because of the fair and the game.
Somebody, you mean, got some smart and decided...
Yeah, that was in the paper. In fact, I'm glad you mentioned that, because for Wake County, they postponed it until, I think... We'll have to check, but it's sometime in the 1st of November. I think it's the first weekend. And the reason is all this activity is going on.
Why didn't somebody postpone the game?
Surely you jest.
Jeez. All right. Well, never mind the next day. But anyway, if you want, that's a good piece of information.
These are the same people
that
who didn't postpone the game or get the game around the state fair. Can you imagine being out there today?
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, if you want to help, then you can get a list of the schools. Can be found at. On www.explorenet.org, explorenet.org, or you can contact ExploreNet at 888-NC-NET-DAY, 888-NC-NET-DAY. That's 626-3832, and they're looking for any kind of help. You don't have to be an engineer to help with North Carolina Net Day. Any kind of help is needed. All kind of help. if needed.
Okay.
Kevin, we started talking a little bit, and it's going to happen like this. Calls are going to come in, mm-hmm. and we're going to have to break off. The new things from Cyrus. Now, I've seen what you were talking about. We got something from one of our suppliers that showed bars of the performance. And it looked like the M2 233, which is the Cyrix, and it's a Socket 7 chip, right?
Yes.
Is actually faster than the Pentium 2, which is one of those mini cameras that you mount on the motherboard.
The 35 millimeter shot.
Yeah.
that's right. The new product that we announced in June is called the 6X86MX, used to be known as the M2.
Uh-huh.
It's essentially an evolutionary product from the product that we've been shipping for the last year and a half, 2 years now, the 6X86. And the primary difference between the two chips is we've increased the cache, the 64K on chip from 16K, and added the MMX instructions. There's a lot of other internal things we've done, but from a user's point of view, those are the two key enhanced features. And the performance takes a dramatic a jump with the bigger cache.
Now, with the 166 and the 200, the PR, mm-hmm. the regular chips, this was like a shock to me back then when they were coming out, because I always thought about Cyrix as math coprocessor, developer, manufacturer. It was the math co part of the chip was actually slower than the Intel on the Cyrix chips.
That's true for extremely high intensity math oriented programs. I mean, some of the games like Quake.
Right. So how are we doing now with the M2s, with the MMX chips? I mean, is Intel still going to come out and say, yeah, but our MathCo is faster? Because the MathCo now, the MathCo part of the processor has to do with the MMX, correct?
No, MMX and floating point are two different things.
Yeah,
they're actually using the same hardware.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
If the hardware is
slow, will they come up and say, yeah, but our MMX is faster? Is that something that's going to come up and say, we do MMX faster than Cyrix?
Well, the MMX instructions are entities in and of themselves.
Okay.
And actually, our MMX implementation is faster than
okay.
Intel. There's no real software out there that heavily uses it today. So a lot of it, as we were saying, was hype. On the floating point end, the Intel processor for high intensity floating point applications can be faster. If you're running things like Excel spreadsheets and so forth, what you find in the real world is that you execute a floating point instruction and then you do 10, 20 integer instructions. And what's important in those kinds of applications is by the time I get to the next floating point instruction, I need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
For typical business applications and that sort of stuff, you'll never actually see a difference between the processors. With something like Quake or whatever, you can measure a difference. And there's history behind this. When we architected the 6X86 and the 6X86MX years ago, we characterized the instructions that were running under DOS and Windows and what we were seeing in the business world. And we focused our architecture on getting the maximum performance out of the integer side of the microprocessor.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to work for Intel, and back in the late 80s, Intel was scared about the RISC chips that were coming out. There was a big war, RISC versus CISC and all that. Intel won. But in 1988-89, when they were doing the Pentium, the weak point of x86 microprocessors was the floating point unit. Intel spent a huge number of their transistors on improving the floating point unit. We chose not to do that. So there's no magic to this. It's architectural trade-offs and how many transistors you have. What I will say is that we were at Microprocessor Forum, a high-tech forum last week, and we're starting to unveil the next-generation architecture. Cyrix originally was a floating point company. We know how to do it. Our floating point units have always been faster than
right.
Intel's back from the 387 days. I was going to say it's not rocket science. Actually, pretty is close to rocket science.
It is rocket science, right?
But the next generation core that'll follow on second half of next year will have significantly enhanced floating point and 3D video support, MPEG 2 and so forth. So it's really an issue of focusing your energy on what's important. Games are now important. We're going to significantly address that.
Is it also going to be a Socket 7 chip?
Absolutely. Intel's position today is to try to convince everybody that they don't like Pentium anymore and they're in love with the Pentium 2. And from our point of view, that's really a marketing statement more so than a technical statement. Our feeling is your Pentium boards that you've been using for a year and the cost basis has gone down, and as they've built more and more, Socket 7 is going to live easily for another year, and we and AMD are going to continue to support generations of processors in the standard Pentium Socket 7 motherboards.
You're listening to 850 The Buzz, and our number is 860-0850. We're talking with Kevin Farini from Cyrix. Kevin, the latest thing that we hear about processors here and there is that IBM and now Intel, whatever, Copper. Do you have any?
I know a little bit about that. That's you have metal interconnects between layers on the chip, and IBM has, or is, from what I'm reading, is perfecting having a copper interconnects, which is a lot faster than what's been used. Although much more difficult to work with from what, otherwise it would have been done a long time
right.
ago. And supposedly from things I'm reading, they're saying you get a 30-40% speed up utilizing
lower heat too.
And lower heat, right. And so they're saying out of essentially the same technologies, you can drive the megahertz up, by 20-30-40%. I think that remains to be seen in terms of when is it manufacturable,
yeah.
when does it go to production, and so forth. And we'll have to see.
And what is the highest speed megahertz-wise that Cyrix is putting out now?
Right now we're making a 6x86MX PR233. We'll be driving those speeds up as we integrate with National. What's going on is we're bringing the microprocessors, both our 6x86 and our MediaGX processors, up in the National fabrication facilities, and we're able to shrink the devices, get the die size down. When you shrink the part goes faster, and so we're expecting some pretty significant megahertz improvements going into the first half of next year.
Are there, this is along the line with Adnan's question, we were talking about this just briefly, the Intel 300, is this anything new from the 266, or are they still, because I see this now starting to hit the pages of...
It's just enhanced speed sorts off the Pentium 2.
So they just haven't, it looked like they hadn't done anything new.
Well, I think they've been at some technical forums where they've been showing, Pentium 2 400s, with... refrigerators cooling them off and that sort of thing.
We never could figure out why someone didn't develop a computer case that was a refrigerator so that you didn't have to worry about all these cooling things.
Yeah.
at the same time, get your Coke cool.
You could do both. That's right. You sit up at 2 o'clock in the morning and pop the Jolt Cola and program.
Talk about the cup holder, huh?
Well, I think Dan earlier was talking about his computer doing things in the middle of the night, and we might as well make lunch for you.
That's right. Lunch, ice cubes.
Is that what the MediaGX, everything in one?
Absolutely.
Talk about the MediaGX. Who else besides Compaq, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did somebody else buy the rights to it? Or not the rights, but licensed it to use?
There are numerous people using our MediaGX part, IBM in Canada, Compaq. There's a fairly significant account base. The MediaGX is essentially a high integration part where we've pulled the graphics card, the audio card functions on chip, and that's a combination of putting the right things in hardware and about 20 man years worth of software development that we've done over the last 3 years. And essentially, for an entry level PC, the Compaq Presario sells for $799 plus a monitor. It was, in fact, in August the 2nd, largest selling machine in the entire country with a Media GX part in it. I don't think too many people know what's going on there. And it's developing actually a new marketplace. The sub-$1,000 machine is real, especially with the advent of the internet. People are looking for inexpensive internet access boxes, or you know, boxes for their kids to go to college with, or a second PC at home.
Yeah, this is a slick piece of equipment. I saw one I was telling you about over at Office Depot, because it's got everything you need. CD-ROM, it's got a built-in modem, so you buy it, you go home, plug it in, and for kids going to, as Kevin said, for an entry-level PC.
Yeah.
And essentially what the Media GX is doing is it's eliminating an audio card, it's eliminating your video card. The motherboard itself is fairly straightforward, you know, design, because a lot of the functionality is in the Media GX. So about the entire focus of the Media GX is to reduce the cost of your motherboard and the cost of the computing. And Intel can't touch it. You know, you put a Pentium on a Socket 7 board, you've got a lot of hardware that's got to roll around, and unless Intel gives the part away for free, you know, when you eliminated the cost of your audio and video card, I mean, you're paying for the Media GX.
You mean Intel's not shipping you free chips, Ayman?
No, no, huh?
Not lately. Huh?
Not lately.
They're working on that. Yeah, it's behind the disco guys.
That's right.
Well, where do you think that truck was going when it left Intel Fab? I think it's going to Amnon's place.
Ah, that's it.
Your calls are coming up next on the station. I want to pay your rent or your mortgage, and now your car payment too. 850 The Buzz. And welcome back to 850 The Buzz and Computers 97. Our number here is 860-0850. It's £850 if you're a 360 communication customer. £850 if you're in the car.
We've been very geeky so far. We need to do some fun stuff or something. I mean, you know, Kevin's this real bright guy.
Please, Larry, no more dancing.
No, well, I was having a good time to the music earlier.
Put your shirt back on.
Put your shirt back on. I mean, we need, you know, what color?
Do we have to get out of the jacuzzi now?
All right. Kevin's really telling on us now. You think he's a geek. He's just a fun guy.
860-0850. Back to the... I want to talk about the Media GX.
See, back to the geek stuff.
This is good stuff.
This is good stuff.
I mean, we got to get that stuff, because this is the stuff that the audience is interested in.
Well, and people can use this stuff.
On the downside, talking about the GX, I had to call Kevin to ask him, what should I do? We had a customer that wanted to use a Zip, and she couldn't use it with the parallel port.
Thank you.
That was all already on it because the printer won't work. And I said, oh, no problem. We just put the second parallel port.
Yeah, right.
And that's the way you do it. And what kind of computer? Oh, it's a compact. Okay, yeah, bring it over. All right, we're working from. Here comes one of those computers, and it's got stickers all over the place.
Sealed box, right?
Sealed box. No slots. I mean, when we were talking about a year ago, when it was going to come out, we were talking about one slot motherboard, that you can have one slot to add something. But you explained to me that no, it doesn't work like that. They really don't want to open it. And
well, you have to understand where Compaq is coming from. They wanted to put out a box that would break $1,000, and there were a couple key things that were important to them. One was cost of service. They didn't want any of the boxes coming down back, and they also didn't want to cannibalize the higher end of their product line. So on the service issue, because if they had a lot of returns, and whenever you open up a box, you're guaranteed to get a certain percentage of them back, because people break things and so forth. So they basically said, this is a sealed box. This will eliminate a lot of service calls, keep our cost of manufacturing, all that down. That was a conscious decision on their part. And in terms of cannibalizing the higher end of the Presario and DeskPro product line, they made it essentially a fixed function box. They said, we're going to give you everything you're going to need for an entry level PC, because their marketing people did not want people to buy $1,000 box if their $1,200 or $1,500 DeskPro was more appropriate for their environment.
Right.
So that was strictly a marketing decision to have one ISA slot in that box, which they then put a modem in.
Right, that's what.
It's not a statement of the Media GX. There are lots of boxes out there that have full, you know, multiple ISA and PCI slots and are fully upgradable and so forth. So
there are.
Yes.
So the Media GX really is not necessarily has one slot that you can add one unit, because we were talking about that you would probably want to add a network card, that's what people would want to add to it. But that was from the Cyrix side, why there was one slot. So
no, from the Compaq side.
Right.
You just mentioned the V-key issue. The last thing that Compaq wanted was for somebody to put a LAN card in the entry-level PC, and what they've done is they've turned a Desk Pro sale into a Presario sale.
Yeah.
So
it
wasn't intended to be a commercial box for a commercial customer.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, you know, if you sell a workstation, you sell
right.
a workstation at a certain
right.
price level, and
mm-hmm.
then, I mean, I understand both sides, and it's like buying a laptop. You know, laptops are not real friendly for adding stuff on either.
And the beauty of what we're seeing at Compaq is that they've absolutely driven the sub $1,000 yeah. machine. They've sold hundreds of thousands of GX machines. It's all been upside business to them. It has not touched the rest of their product line. Market is real.
How long do they warranty it for? Do you know?
Oh, geez.
Is it a year?
I think it's at least a year.
Does that mean that after a year, one could open it and, I mean, if they decided that they want to take it to the office, they could take the modem out? And
there's really no need to open it. I mean, if you need a modem in your machine and there's one slot, and it's kind of an 8-bit ISA slot, so, you know, there's not so much you could put in it anyway. The intention is that you should never have a reason to open this because we're giving you full sound, full, you know, modem capability. Everything is there.
She was real happy with that machine.
Yeah.
It's a great piece of equipment. I was telling Kevin earlier, if I were to buy one right now, a great idea and mm-hmm. a good piece of equipment. If you were to buy one for a child going to college, it's got almost everything they would need.
No, it does have everything.
But, you know, if you want to start playing with it, it's sort of like buying a motorized. If you try to put land cards in them, it's like sort of like buying a motorized sailboat. It's not a good motorboat. It's not a good sailboat. It's sort of mediocre both. You do one or the other.
Let's just add on to that. You buy it for a kid who goes to school, that most of the school today do have Ethernet to
you
the room.
You could run into that.
You need to do your homework before you
right.
buy the computer
right.
to make sure that the computer you're buying the kid will work and will do what needs to be done.
But they also could hook via the Internet. Because
you mean
dial-up right. networking yeah. and get in. Because most of the schools, almost all of them that I know of, have access that way, too.
And I think the other thing that Compaq was focused on is 40 to 50% of the households in the U.S. still don't have a PC. And the number one reason is price. And so they felt there's a gigantic market out there, and they're proving it. They've doubled their volumes of GX-based machines to close to 500,000 a quarter now, and we don't see any end in sight because there's just a huge untapped market.
And it's black.
You have to get to price points.
What color is your computer, right?
Yeah.
And that's what the GX has done for the market. In the past, to get a less than $1,000 machine, you typically were getting an old model. You know, with something somebody was trying to dump to get
right,
rid of
lower.
Inventory and
mm-hmm.
so forth. It was two generations behind, and it was a less than machine, and people were generally unhappy. With the GX, it's matching right up there with the equivalent Pentium.
What was it run, 150?
Probably. The speed sorts we've had over the last 4 months have been 150, 166,
so it's
180,
plenty fast,
and 200.
Yeah.
MMX happens in the next 2 months.
Well, the GX.
For the GX, so
wow.
we internally call that the GXM. And the other thing is that next year, what you're going to see is the merging of the 6x86 line and the GX line, where the core of the 6x86MX becomes the core of the GX, and then you've got a high-powered, $1,000 machine with 6x86MX core technology in it. full 3D MPEG 2 support.
It's, without video cards and without audio cards.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, and at that point, when you have that kind of horsepower, you can start thinking about, you know, we're always thinking about how do we knock out hardware costs in the subsystem.
Right.
Now you can start talking about soft modems, MPEG 2 support. You know, the entire idea behind the GX is to get the cost of your motherboard down. And that's usually at the expense of what used to be discrete chips on your motherboard on your standard Pentium solution today.
And then you go into, you already talked about some notebook capabilities of these things, what's happening.
Originally the GX was a Skunkworks program by the co-founder of the company. He was at Comdex, and HP graphics guys cornered him and said, hey, we got a great idea for a microprocessor. And he basically hired the design team on the spot and started a design center in Colorado.
That's great.
Seriously. And 3 years later, it's, you know, it truly was a Skunk Works program.
It's the old IBM Skunk Works story, right?
Kevin, I know you said that you want to be out of here by 9.
More or less.
Is there anything that you wanted to, that I didn't bring up, that you wanted to mention that...
I guess what I wanted to say, being in the middle of a merger with National, you know, there's lots of... you know, rumors and misinformation and so forth going down. The one thing I do want to say is that the combination of Cyrex with its CPU architectural capability and the National manufacturing muscle is just a perfect match. And there's going to be serious benefits to our customers in terms of you know, the cost of computing and our ability to build.
The name is going to stay Cyrex on the chip?
Absolutely. We're essentially going to be looked at as a subsidiary of National. So I don't know if I'm going to be called a Cyrex guy, a National guy, or what, but the product itself is going to continue to be
Cyrex. You're going to be called the National Cyrex guy.
Something like that.
Good.
Well, I think.
And what it does to all the computer users is it helps us all because the competition improves quality, performance, and brings down price. That's really important.
Right. And we're actually working with, you know, companies like AMD on continuing to drive Socket 7. You're going to see 8300 megahertz specs come out. There's nothing magical about a Pentium 2 socket that you can't have in a standard Pentium board.
Absolutely not.
So, you know, we align ourselves where it makes sense. We've gotten together with AMD, and we're going to keep Socket 7 going for, you know, at least the next year. And, you know, we just don't foresee the need to be doing what Intel's doing with the Pentium 2.
No, and it helps the consumer. You know, the consumer doesn't have to.
Well, the point that Kevin makes so well is that this is, most of these technology decisions are business decisions, not technology decisions.
Yeah, it's marketing.
And we get the technology that the marketers and the business people want us to get, not what's the best. And when you have competition, you get much better. Quicker, faster, cheaper.
That's right.
So Murphy's Law, what's the great computing law? Murphy's Law? The one that everything doubles like
Moore's Law.
Moore's Law. It's really a marketing-driven law.
Well, that's why you have guys dancing in fab.
That's right.
You know, you don't need to know why you need MMX. You just need it.
Yeah, and what we figured, there were four companies putting out MMX software.
Are there four?
I don't know. Well, I heard
of Well, you know, and the funny thing about that is that Intel next year is going to be introducing MMX2. So I'm curious.
Yeah, we haven't figured out MMX1.
Right.
Yeah. So, I, you know, ultimately it's useful, and the software community will catch up. But right now, it's a function that's, you know, more marketing-driven, and there's not that much software out there. But on the other hand, I mean, we are MMX. The instructions are fairly straightforward to figure out and implement.
Yeah, the capabilities. I know as a programmer, it's a lot more difficult to program for MMX technology. It just takes a lot more time, and the uses of it in the business world are pretty limited. The gaming world is weird, and I guess the graphics part of it.
I hope that they will take advantage of it to speed up.
Speed up, but what do you want? Little flames,
I don't know,
flames,
you know,
on my database
and stuff? Would you like access to be running faster with nice pictures and this guy pointing and said, do this?
Well, you know, our perspective right now on that is...
These are business machines.
You know, with the Cyrex solution, you're getting a significant amount of performance at a lower price. And, you know, if you're a heavy-duty gamer, then the best combination is a Cyrix CPU and a really good 3D graphics card, and the combination of those two is going to be less than your Pentium system anyway.
Yeah.
Specialized hardware along those lines will always blow a CPU with rudimentary graphics capabilities out of the water.
Yeah.
So, you know, we look at it that way. It's the overall system performance and what does it cost you.
Pentium 2 chip is outrageous in price. You know, I mean, the chip and motherboard.
The chip and motherboard combination is two or three times.
You can buy, probably four Cyrix 233s.
Well, and that's why the Pentium 2 is not taken off as Intel had planned, because, you know, at this point, customers have a real alternative in terms of Cyrix, AMD, out in the marketplace.
And you can't just go in and say, I'd like to upgrade my chip. You've got to put in an entirely new motherboard to buy a Pentium 2 because of the sockets.
That's true.
And then you've got to hope that everything else works on that motherboard. Unfortunately, I'm one of these people who know that it doesn't.
If you want to get basically the same performance and pay a lot more for it, the Pentium 2 is a great idea.
Listen to it. All right.
But, you know, I'm not biased.
No, not at all. He's wearing this Dayglo Cyrix shirt, people. You don't see him because this is radio.
And being in radio...
Chapel Hill, not the call.
Your calls are coming up next on the station. I want to pay your rent, your mortgage, and your car payment. 850 The Buzz. And if Kevin is going to be here in the next hour, we'll hear him. If not, thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.